And good afternoon. Let me turn this up just a bit here. Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and this is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Coming up on the show today, in the first hour from the first round of the December 2nd, and the Journey Continues open mic at the Elm Cafe, and that's in its monthly series, you'll hear readings by Peter Mottner, Brendan Wiley, Keith Poole, Chantal Lavoie, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Sarah Emtage, Joseph Elliott, Sue Publicover, Allison Wong, Clark Renault, Kashi Antonio, Sonali Samaya, Olivia Parent, Leo Roberts, Jordan Lane, Andrew Andrichuk, Fiona McMillan, Liz Huntley Yench, Harlequin Crow, Connor Park, Dozy Ubozi, and me. And in the second hour from that same December 2nd and the Journey Continues open mic, you'll hear readings at the Elm in the second round and readings by Keith Poole, Eric Folsom, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Sarah Emtage, Joseph Elliott, Sue Publicover, Allison Wong, Clark Renault, Kashi Antonio, Sonali Samaya, Olivia Parent, Andrew Andrichuk, Fiona McMillan, Liz Huntley Yench, Nicholas Lennox, Harlequin Crow, Connor Park, Dozy Ubozi, and again me. Just my first mention each hour is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, and I try to preserve it as much as possible to maintain the creative integrity of both the piece and to the author. So here we go, and in case you just happen to tune in a few seconds late, I'm just going to read you the people you'll be hearing in the first round at the Elm Cafe from the December 2nd open mic there, and this will run nearly through the first hour, so you won't hear my voice again until then, I guess. So, but coming up, you're going to hear, again, one more shot, readings by Peter Mottner, Brendan Wiley, Keith Poole, Chantal Lavoie, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Sarah Emtage, Joseph Elliott, Sue Publicover, Allison Wong, Clark Renault, Kashi Antonio, Sonali Samaya, Olivia Parent, Leo Roberts, Jordan Lane, Andrew Andrichuk, Fiona McMillan, Liz Huntley Yench, Harlequin Crow, Connor Park, Dozy Ubozi, and me. And so let's go ahead and just jump right in, and I'll catch you here late in this hour. Here we go. Let's go ahead and bring up Peter Mottner.
This poem is titled Here, There, and Everywhere. And it's here, it's over there, and right on the street. There out on the street, one should use their 2 feet, take their four-legged friends, push a wheelchair, sit on a bicycle seat would be neat, and experience the art, culture, music in the hood would be good. Experiencing the arts out in the hood is sublime, and here at the Elm, you guessed it, divine. Here at the Elm, we are at the realm of creativity, truly a place of serendipity. From the very sight of you all, You're all framed by the ever-changing art on the wall. En rue de Montréal. C'est très bon. With Matthew, Logan, and Clan, it all began. The Elm has morphed into a cultural art space, a place that reaches far and wide and into the hood, because it could. Here at the Elm, everyone has their place. As creatures of habit, like some in good weather, like to sit in the two tables outside facing Montreal Street to meet passers-by and greet as well, while others choose any seat, which is neat. Then there are those that stay, if they can, in a particular seat where they dream about the five senses. Sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, all in abundance as such. Willa, Anthea, Courtney, Danielle, Mariana, and not forgetting Grace, to save face, all are a great staff and often have given me a laugh and a smile on everyone's face. Here, there, and everywhere, the Elm. En rue de Montréal is what a café ought to be. Ici, n'est-ce pas bonne nuit? Merci. Looked the other day at the back patio. Of course, this is in when it was hot. And what a magical place. The Elm, lifeline of the arts, extended here all the way from the two tables outside in the street, here inside and there to the back patio. There to the back patio and everywhere all the way to the heights where I live, there in the heights exists the arts, bringing us back to here, there, and everywhere again. After all, we are all at the Elm, quirky, imaginative, and bold. For you, young and old. I don't know about you, but I am sold. Hi, good day. I'll have a coffee to stay, if that is okay. Oh, and in closing, I have something to purport. I have never been to any mall wart, which is Walmart.
As we bring up Brendan Wiley, let's give Peter another hand.
Have people behind me. I'm just speaking to people in front of me. This poem's called Life's a Rodeo. So you may not know this, but all rodeo events are based off of things you would do naturally on a ranch. It was supposed to be a part of a showcase to sort of highlight and sort of present Western culture and sort of see who was the best rider, who was the best this or that. There was one event, though, that you didn't actually do on a ranch whatsoever. That is bull riding, which is my favorite event of all. Actually comes from Mexico. So it was a bunch of Mexican matador riders. It has the Spanish element mixed in there. And that's where it came from. It doesn't make any sense. It's the only thing that in the rodeo world doesn't make any sense. Has no tradition other than they thought it was crazy and cool, and that's why they did it. And yeah, to me, life is like riding bulls. It just, I don't know, it's crazy, it doesn't make any sense, but we still do it anyways. So this poem's about that. 8 seconds. That's all the time you get. From the moment you give the nod to the time the buzzer rings, just 8 seconds. And that's only if you're lucky. Not everyone makes the full count. So hold on tight. This ride ain't for the faint of heart. Not when you're atop an 1,800-pound beast who's trying to buck you off and beat you into the dirt. Every ride is do or die. But it's a way of life, I guess. This ride comes with its share of highs and lows, and nothing is guaranteed. So take things as they come, one jump, one buck, one twist at a time. You may think you've got things all mapped out, but rarely do things go according to plan. Sometimes you'll be fortunate and the bull will turn into your hand. Other times, not so much. Just remember to ride your ride, no matter what. It may feel like eternity when you're up there, but when it's all over, you'll remember it was just 8 seconds.
If I do it this way, it'll be more comfortable for everybody. Let's, as we bring up Chantel Lavoie, let's give, or no, it's not you. Sorry. As we bring up Keith Poole, let's give, Brandon, and I'm sorry, Brandon. I just, sometimes that happens.
Okay, so the title of this poem is Gazellic. And maybe there's a lot of us out there, we write, so we collect words. And so if I hear an unusual word, I'll write that down. I'll use it as a poem sometime later. And so this is a word that I actually heard on an episode of Ted Lasso. If you watch that there, I guess there was an episode where Rebecca is in Amsterdam, falls in the creek or in the water, the canal, and is rescued by a local guy who's living on a boat. And she's sitting there after she dries off, and she says, oh, it's so cozy, it's so comfortable. And he says, gezellig, which I guess is a Dutch word, doesn't translate directly, but generally means cozy, comfortable, convivial. And I thought, oh, that's a great word, I'm going to use that. And so this is my poem, Gezellig. How do I express how not uncomfortable your hand feels in mine?
So give Keith another hand. Let's bring up Chantel Lavoie this time.
Okay, I'm belting this out for the over 50s, and because competing with the machinery is one more thing. It's sort of a Christmas poem. It's called Beeswax Nativity. One holy night, a cat ate most of her. The virgin among men and beasts and babe, sweet-smelling, neutral to the taste, chewy. For some years after, but for Angel Winged, whom I thought of as she, nativity most homosocial was. Now, house empty of children and husband, I start to burn the rest. Wicks never meant to burn, straight through their golden effigies. Advent candled December heads aflame come puddling down. I am the Holy Ghost. First, light the wise stargazers. Then I turn to set the match to Joseph, gentle patriarch. Camel next, then donkey, sheep, shepherd, until only the blessed child and angel bright remain. That cradled Christ is where I hesitate. Is there some sacrilege in this? Was flesh made into wax as bread might be made flesh? The child alight. The child alight goes up. Honey smoke evidence of things unseen.
This isn't crowding you too much, is it?
No, that's fine. Okay. Thanks for giving me your seat.
As we give Chantel another hand, let's bring up Michael Flaho.
I got awkward. So this one is more for my penchant of storytelling and is inspired by my Persian friend right here. It's called The Snail. Over an open book, under a Persian sun, one day came to slowly roam a snail, whose shell was a curl of pearl, a coiled and golden dome. Across the ancient words it moved, determined, careful, sure. The eyes that waved over the sunlit page were of snail interests and pure. Beneath the snail were the words of a poet, wisdom's silent call. And where seen through the gliding skin were barely seen at all, the snail slowly began to feel, not a touch, but something newly sensed, as if a dream itself had touched the snail with something to dispense. The words read of hot sweet tea and red mountains high, while the snail simply left its shining trail a mirror to the sky. Yet it felt of lovers bound by metaphors, although it knew not the words. These emerging where the ink showed through, two worlds conjoined and blurred. Could motion be an answered prayer, it wondered, although not quite, for the thought was just a shimmer felt like mist during the night. No words were formed, no reason thread, yet something seemed to grow, a new awareness glinting faint beneath its gliding flow. Could the verse be reading it? The flesh, the trail, and trace, a dialogue of damp and dream, of substance meeting grace. What if this path so wetly drawn could then change what lay below, and both become new hieroglyphs that none before could know? The snail still glides through Persian dusk, between cypress tree and leaf, no wiser for the poet's words, yet transformed by a belief. For somewhere in that merging line of ink and coiled shell, the snail had become a poem itself, even though it could not tell.
As we give Michael another hand, let's bring up Bruce Cudmore.
Hello, everyone. I've got a poem about forgetfulness, not necessarily written from firsthand experience. There. It's called Re-Remembering. I'm going to stand here for a moment and notice the sense that I know nothing. I entered for something, then I forgot. My reason escaped in the quiet air, once purposeful, now lost in a blank stare. This happens more often these days, but it's different. Before, I'd feel angst and rush back to where I last held that thought and pace till it rushed back to me and face set like stone, go and triumph for that forgotten thing. Lately, when I fall into the fog, pause, I close my eyes, pause and wait and listen. Open my eyes and maybe the thing will appear. A can of beans in the pantry, or a box of cookies, or some coffee. Coffee could always be the answer, right? I'd take that track and make one, then go back to find the tape or the paper or the razor or the soap. But on occasion, from the fog, the clear answer comes boasting. I'd grin and quietly retrieve my win, but I'd be happy to accept either outcome, remembering or forgetting. This, I think, boasts a kind of prize. Accept what comes in a sudden fog peacefully. I'm going to stand here for a moment longer. I know nothing, and the answer isn't coming. I've always been searching, I'm reminded. And I turn, and I smile, don a hat, go outdoors, and walk for miles.
As we give Bruce another hand, let's bring up Sarah Emtage.
Um,
Yeah, it is. It is the season for this one. I know you may. I may have shared it other years too. But it's called Advent. Watching a winter day slip away, the wind bares its teeth. Afternoon sunset, and yet there's a brighter light burning beneath. Advent is adventure, anticipation of an unrivaled arrival unraveling the earth, and I'm glowing with the glory of this birth. Thank you.
So give Sarah another hand. Let's bring up Joseph Elliott.
Thank you. I'm going to read a haiku, which is generally read twice because they're really short. I always feel a bit silly reading it twice, but that's what you're supposed to do, I guess. And I do have a pair of them today, which I hope makes sense together. Half moon, leaving behind crumbs on the table. Half moon, leaving behind crumbs on the table. In the pine bush, grandfather planted his ashes. In the pine bush, grandfather planted his ashes. Thank you.
To give Joseph another hand, let's bring up Sue Public Over.
Same faith journey, but as somebody who's battled with depression for decades, a different twist and different from my typical writing. Thank you, always, Bruce, for this great opportunity to play a bit. At a loss, not for love or lovers or being beloved. And you are that mystery, that simplicity. So where am I? Indifferent observer in the world. Vulnerability, I say to the priest. I've come for prayer and anointing. I want to be open, awake, vulnerable. You never stand alone in your vulnerability, she says. Jesus stands with you always. And I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane, a cool night that smells like hard packed dirt. A few stars peek between the cloud clusters, scudding past the moon. The trees are a black shadow against the skyline. Can you not stay awake with me? He says. And I'm tired from the day, too hazy to focus. My mind flatlines. He's washed my feet, served the meal, blessed it, and spoke of suffering and death and the greatest love. And it's just too much to sort. And now I am just plain tired, tucked into a curve between two hard raised roots. I settle my back against the tree and drift into restless dozing. Why am I asking for this prayer, the full human experience, love beyond measure, pain beyond comprehension, word made flesh? The priest says, through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And here I am, kneeling, seeking ecclesiastical anointing for the healing of the sick. Without vulnerability, I cannot know the God within, cannot be the hands, the feet, the heart of Jesus that serves. Moving through creation, resting within God's embrace, wearing a custom-made outfit of love. I have so many layers of dirt and hurt and pride, crusted and caked over the years. But you know, perhaps this oil, pressed in the shape of a cross, earnestly and lovingly applied to my forehead, will work a little bit like WD-40.
So we give Sue another hand. Let's bring up Allison Wong.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. It's fine. I can't remember if I've read this recently. I apologize if I have. Okay. Tonight is a good night for poets. Or alternately, my hands hurt from clapping. I share this stage with all of you, and I dare call me poet. With every word, your heartbeat claws its way out of my chest. What's it like? Asks my heartbeat. What's it like to be so full of you? Mine is too full, so full of me, and I can't kill my darlings to make room for more, and yet I call myself poet. So I ask you, audience, bleed me, make room for me, just a bit, not too much. Tuck me in the dip of your collarbone. Let me rest like stray tear. Let me beg your pardon just this once. Forgive me this presumption. I just want to feel for once like not me, but a poet me. Just enough, but not too full me. Take the edge off without blunting me. Bruise, but not blood sharp me. Sorry for making this all about me, me. Don't get me wrong, this poem is about you, all the you I've drunk tonight. I am vessel crying love, and you, the air I dare to breathe. Tonight is a good night for poets, a good night for pens and thumbs, notebooks and Kleenex. Tonight is a good night for poets, for bleeding and tearing and giving and sharing, and I cup my hands to receive your blessings for the next time my feet meet yours on this stage. Hold me, let me bleed through your veins the way your words course through mine. Let me have this good night to keep, just a sip for the bad nights. Your applause as my lifeblood, tonight is a good night for poets. And it is you, poets, who I will thank on my knees every night hence.
As we bring up Clark Renault, let's give Allison another hand.
How's it going, guys? It was my birthday this weekend.
Happy birthday!
Oh, thank you. So this poem's called For My Birthday. Okay. This year, I wish to stop telling people I'm indecisive when in reality I know what I want. This year, I wish to hold you in my arms through the night and wake up with you still by my side. This year, I wish to travel out of the country and write stories about my beautiful yet twisted past. This year, I wish to not be bored and head to the liquor store to pick up beers, drinking to pass the time. This year, I wish to remember all of the loves from my past, but not let them consume me. And if they do come back in my life, let me love you right this time. This year, I wish to gain the courage to apologize to my friends for the way I've wronged them. I would not be here without them. For on the other hand, this year, I wish to not rely on others and the way they feel about me, as it is only me who decides the way I feel. This year, I wish to support my siblings like I never have before, as they cross through into the greater difficulties of life. This year, I wish to fly a kite on a nice windy day. No phones, no music, just the wind and I. For this year, in my 22nd trip around the sun, I wish to not get too high nor fly too low, but to cruise the golden mean while staying true to myself. This year, I pray that it is good.
To give Clark another hand, let's bring up Cashy Antonio.
Hey.
Hello, everyone. Today, I'm going to share a poem that I wrote. I was a part of a club called Spoken Word Club, and we had a poem prompt, which was... One moment. Okay, found the bookmark. Okay, so the prompt was to write about something non-living. So I'm going to see if you guys can guess what I was describing in the poem. First one to, after the poem's done, to answer wins. Okay. A square without edges straight, a hole or two in its side for connection. Holes for connection, grooves for the placing of another piece. One piece for another, until the puzzle piece is no longer its own piece. It contributes to the whole. No longer alone, no longer with holes, but whole. A unique and needed piece in the square without edges straight. A complete picture remains. Many pieces fitting in the master's final piece. Okay. That's me. I realize I gave it away, kind of, but who answers?
Jigsaw puzzle.
Let's go. Bruce wins. Okay.
As we give Cashy another hand, let's bring up Sonali Samaya.
It is so full today. Damn. So it was also my 22nd birthday this weekend. And this also marks the 3 years since I came to my first poetry night here. And in honor of that, I wanted to read what I read that day. And also, it's the same poem that I ever read in front of people. So one that's very near and dear to my heart. Loving you brings me more pain than I'd care to admit. It's draining to resist the urge to picture us together, and even more exhausting to avoid every impulse I have that centers around you. My love for you is hypocritical. It brings me warmth while simultaneously displaying goosebumps. It makes me focus on superficial characteristics, those same features that would enrage me if you cared about them too. It makes me want to stay in bed all day and spend all night beside you, and my bones ache while my muscles relax at the thought of you. Loving you is replacing one bad habit with another. It's throwing my cigarettes away and then drinking the nearest bottle. It's sticking to the sale rack and then buying a $9 coffee or purchasing expensive shoes just to display them on a shelf because you're too scared to wear them. And frankly, this love is too confusing for me to understand, but not detrimental enough for me to question. Like how two and two all have wildly different definitions, or the fact that there are way too many brands of bottled water. My love for you is as beautiful and bizarre as the leaves changing color, but as ordinary as autumn. It is as terrifying and as rewarding as climbing up a mountain for a better view. It's comparable to losing some hearing after a concert, or jet lag, or being sore after exercise. My love, our love, has floor-to-ceiling windows. It's walking with headphones on. It's a museum with an exhibition that is personalized to me. It is sharing your taste in movies with someone. It is almost missing the bus. It is a wall of graffiti. You are what it was like to listen to my favorite song for the first time, and you have been stuck in my head ever since. Thank you.
As we give Sonali another hand, let's bring up Olivia Parent.
Hi, everyone. So I'm just going to be doing a very wintry poem today, because it literally snowed yesterday, so. Sometimes I think I deserve a stern talking to, not as much as a slap on the wrist, nor as little as a tuck into bed, but just a look into my eyes with concern, advising me that I should be more careful. I slipped on the ice today. And usually I'd curse the sky and my untoned thighs for making me so wobbly. But today, I let out a giggle and then a full-on laugh. With concerned eyes, I was asked, "Are you okay?" knowing that I could change nothing and that the snow would eventually melt off my back and dry into an undetectable stain of events, I laughed a little more. Then I cupped the face that held those serious and worried eyes, brought it to my nose, and thanked it wordlessly with lowered eyelashes. It's been so long since I felt that I've deserved this concern. And now, with a slip and a thaw, I know to be more careful with the way I see the hand that reaches out, not to point, but to hold me up. Thank you.
So give Olivia another hand. Let's bring up
Leo Roberts.
How's the back of my head looking? Okay.
It was also my birthday this weekend. Saturday, Sunday. Saturday. Oof, close but no cigar. All right. Baby made his first chapbook. Yeah, if you would like one, ask me nicely. I brought a bunch to give to people, but I have to dash soon after I read. So, I don't know, harangue me silently after this. keep that. I was at John Barden's launch thingy for his recent book, and he read something called a cento, which is called a patchwork poem where you take works from other people. And I'm like, wait, that's allowed? So also, can you hear me back there? Great. So I made one. It's about writing, I guess. So shouts out to Savannah Brown, T.S. Eliot, Robert Drake, Stephen Hayden, Eric Folsom, Bruce Kaufman. So, what is it I killed that gnaws at me now? It whispers in language of ash and bone, echoing the cavern of my throat and jaw. It has measured my life with coffee spoons, weighed it less than dust, less than a nuisance. So I reply in the softest and oldest language, silence. Silence of the living brings deeper grief. Yet I am the one weeping and tasting the ocean with no reprieve. I need it to break me, and I don't want it to apologize.
As we bring up Jordan Lane, let's give Leo another hand.
Hello, everyone. This is a short one, and it's called An Announcement. The bad blood has been given away. It rots in a fridge the technician left open. The bad blood has been given away. The bad blood has been given away. Thank you.
Because I can't remember anything, I'm going to bring it with me. As we give Jordan another hand, let's bring up Andrew Andrichuk.
Hello, everyone. This is a poem from my dreams. Now that I walk through the desert with the sun shining on me and the moon lighting my way, I stare death in the face as darkness envelops me, and I get exactly what I asked for. And now I spend my life living joy each day with my heart turning to wax and all my bones out of joint as I walk towards my mission following my star.
As we give Andrew another hand, let's bring up Fiona McMillan.
Okay, hi everyone.
I did not know what to read today, to be honest, and I hated the thought of coming and not reading. So this one's a bit old, and I'll give you a bit of context. It's not super important, but I'm a Queen student, and I'm in fine arts, and I'm in my last year, so I'm working towards a thesis right now. And one of my big projects is I have this massive lace bedspread of my grandmother's, and I'm printing this poem on it. And today I was working on the dimensions and the planning. It's going to be a lot of math and not super fun, but I feel like I've been thinking about what it'll look like on a wall for so long that today, for the first time since I wrote it about a year ago, I looked back and actually read what it was going to say, and I was like, huh, I think I should read that. So that's what I'm going to read. It's called Mint Chocolate Chip, and it's pretty short, but yeah, okay. My aunt gave me a plant inside of a pot shaped like an ice cream cone. She gave it to me when I turned 20. Not when I turned 17, no, that's when she heard I may be killing myself soon. She didn't give me a gift that year, and she also didn't look me in the eyes, but we hugged, and it felt strange in a way that was really close to nice, so I didn't seem to mind. I'm not pondering suicide anymore, no, I'm a polite young woman now. So we exchanged flowers and chocolates, long hugs, really anything that communicates womanhood and sanity. She says that she's proud of me on my birthdays, and I think that she means it. And we talk about the economy and my period. She asks me what nice boy I will bring home next, and she knows I am a near lesbian, but we don't talk about taboo topics such as that. No, we enjoy discussing the pleasantries of it all. I think I was more pleasant before and definitely more proud. I think the things I did then were far more impressive than what I do now, but who am I to say? I am no one to say anything. In fact, I am no one at all. Thank you.
As we give Fiona another hand, let's bring up Liz Huntley Chintz.
Okay. I've been into like super long titles recently, so this one is called This is a poem about what happens when you meet the person of your dreams, but instead of living happily ever after, you decide to have kids. Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows is a song from an album called Songs to Wear Pants To. It is the most inane song I have ever encountered. The lyrics are literally just pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows over and over and over again. Naturally, my pink fluffy kids adore this song and demand to listen to it on repeat. My husband and I are sitting on unicorns, the sofa, trying to dancing, have a conversation on rainbows, but the pink children keep interrupting. My fluffy husband and I are trying unicorns dancing to make a connection, but the rainbows children are getting wilder and wilder. They are jumping, dancing on the pink fluffy sofa unicorns. Each time they land pink, I feel myself being propelled up, fluffy, up and away on rainbows. My husband fluffy is reaching across the void. We are trying to pink this relationship, but we are unicorns apart. Why can't you just rainbows, he shouts, and I want to refract every color in his direction. I want to meet him at the center of a pink, pink, pink arc. I want to tell him that I fluffy, but the unicorns are just too damn loud.
As we give Liz another hand, let's bring up Harlequin Crow.
So just to get a couple quick plugs in, my first collection with Alien Buddha Press is actually going to be available this Thursday, and the book launch will be at Novel Idea on January 8th, so that's pretty cool. And January 9th, I'm going to be producing my next burlesque show, so if anybody wants to come, on the pillar against the wall, it's the poster at the bottom, look for the rainbow flag, there's a QR code, you can get tickets. Jet set. It's hard to pack every aspect of self into a suitcase with only enough space for essentials. A concept too vast for checked baggage. Something inevitably sacrificed to the practicality of efficient packing. Only so much space available for articles of expression. Assuming that the climate even allows a cute pair of shoes, tights, a dress, or makeup.
I have to commend everybody. This has gone so well and so fluidly that if anyone came in, I know I said at the start there wouldn't be room in the first round. If anybody came in that wanted to read in the first round, bring up, is it Connor Barnes?
Sorry, just setting up some technical stuff here. So it was 3 weeks ago, it was a Wednesday morning. It was dark. It was early. I had just gone for a walk in Presqu'île Provincial Park. It's in Brighton, Ontario. I don't know if you've been there before. There was this hanging mist in the air. It was one of those mornings where the sun hadn't come up yet, but there was that reckoning of a sunrise where you can start to see objects in front of you. And I was walking through this mist to my car, turned it on, and then everything illuminated in front of it. And this wall of mist I was walking through, I get into my car and I turn it on, and this song started playing. And so I started driving, and as I'm driving, I never heard this song before, but something about the title hit me. It's called People Are Waiting. And so something hit me, and I hit the brakes, and I put the car in park, and I remember I just was staring at the P for park symbol for like 10, 15, 20 seconds, just listening to this song. People are waiting. And I grabbed my notebook and my pen and I wrote this. There are folks who might not make it. If you don't do the thing today, and in each and every life that starts with a sunrise and ends with a set, do it for that one in a millionth person who is going to perish but didn't because you did the thing. Each and every life that starts with a sunrise and ends with a set, you spent grasping at the hanging rope, woven of your design, intent on pulling yourself up, regardless of length or grip. For only the reason that this rope is your rope. And at the top might lie that one in a millionth folk who needed you. You most. But didn't have you. Instead waited. Their questions unanswered. The rope left swaying. Perpetuum mobile. There is no higher form of love than giving your life for your friends, than climbing your rope for a stranger. Each and every day. Until you reach them. And even if you don't.
Did you bring a poem? Did you bring a poem?
Yeah.
Okay. He'll be up after the next person. No, just after him. Okay?
After the break.
After the break?
Okay.
As we give Connor another hand, let's bring up
Dozy.
Hey. I was a bit inspired by the one about the, what was it? The phone call and the bot. So I wrote something similar. It's called Clairvoyance, and it's more optimistic. Okay. The upsetting dream haunts when night falls. The day always has its baggage. This is a military march towards fate's cracked open door. Cue the John Philip Sosa. An aerial view of a city will make this clear. Another Faustian hominid, unfazed by lofty ambitions. Onwards and upwards, to the stars, my friend.
As we give, my mind is just gone tonight. As we give Dozy another hand, let's also give Anthea, who's been taking great care of us, a hand as well. And I'm going to read a short poem to take us into the second round. Speaking of Anthea, too, for all of you that bought something, I guess they can just stop and settle up with you as they go, because I know some people do leave after the first round. So just be sure and do that. I'd appreciate it. And again, my heartfelt thanks to all of you for coming out tonight. Give yourselves and everybody else another hand. And this is called How to Wear a Day. You wake, even early, very early. It is, in fact, still dark. Here in a new day, you look around across the room, then even outside the windows here. You'd like to welcome it, and perhaps manage in even an almost inaudible whisper, let it know. You are greeting a new day and want to wear it, but unsure if it will fit. You still lying there and ask, can I try it on first before you commit? And you believe you hear a muffled yes from seemingly a voice somewhere. Yet the morning is still waiting for you to step out of bed, to commit, to own. Mornings are patient, and this morning, as full as it is, already is and is going to be, is joyful, even joy-filled. This morning, like yesterday, like all the others to come, this too has been waiting for you your entire life. Thank you.
And you just heard from the first round of the December 2nd and the Journey Continues open mic at the Elm Cafe, readings by Peter Montagnier, Brendan Wiley, Keith Poole, Chantal Lavoie, Michael Flaho, Bruce Cudmore, Sarah Emtage, Joseph Elliott, Sue Publicover, Allison Wong, Clark Renault, Cashy Antonio, Sonali Samaya, Olivia Parent, Leo Roberts, Jordan Lane, Andrew Andrichuk, Fiona McMillan, Liz Huntley Yench, Harlequin Crow, Connor Park, Dozy Ubosi, and then me. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And it looks like it's just turned over. It's 54 minutes after 4 o'clock. I do hope you can stay tuned for the second hour of readings that evening. In that next hour, and I'll also have a few minutes in each hour today to share either a few calls for submissions or upcoming lit events. The first thing I'd like to do, though, is thank you all very much for having tuned into the first hour today. And I do hope, you can stay tuned for the second segment for more. I would also like to thank all of those who participated in the event that evening and those who came out to support. And to our barista, Anthea, who took great care of us there that evening. And, of course, to the Elm Cafe for being such a caring and supporting venue. A reminder before we move on is that something I do at the end of each hour, or something I share, I should say, at the end of each hour, a segment of the show, is to remind you that every week both hours of the show are uploaded to my personal blog space for it shortly after I get home at finding a voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They will remain there for 3 years. I do have a few recorded short messages to lead us into the second hour today, but to take us to that point, I've got a couple of minutes or so. Let's go ahead and just start with some calls for submission that are coming up fairly quickly. First one is very local. It's Siphon, which is a lit mag or chapbook, is put out annually. It always has a theme. This year's theme is resistance. They are looking for poetry, essays, creative writing, and more. So I'm going to give you the site. You can check everything out there. But just quoting from the site, their website, Siphon seeks work for our upcoming issue called Resistance, a force that moves through communities, voices, and creative practices in response to the violence, oppression, and injustice shaping our world today. And the deadline for those submissions is January 15th. www.modernfuel.org/siphon. That's SYPHON. And another one, Rattle Chapbook Prize. This also has a January 15th deadline. Award includes a prize of $5,000, 500 copies, and distribution to Rattle's 8,000 plus subscribers. They're asking for 15 to 30 pages of poetry. It says it's okay if individual poems have been published, but the manuscript as a whole must be unpublished as a collection. Here's the link for more information, rattle.com/page/chapbook prize. Again, the deadline is January 15th. I've got another one with a January deadline, January 25th for this one. It's the Craft 2025 Memoir Excerpt and Essay Contest. It says it's open to all writers, emerging and experienced, looking for previously unpublished creative nonfiction. 6,000 word max. Their website again. This is a January 25th deadline for submissions. Go to craft.submittable.com. And then there are a series of, just look for the, once you get into their main link there, I'm sure it will be easy to find their memoir excerpt and essay contest. It's a line and a half long link that I have here, so you don't need all of that information. Just go to craft.submittable.com and then submit and see where that takes you. How's that? It should take you right there. Anyway, I've run out of time to do this right now. We might have time for more at the end of the second hour, but I will also be sharing some upcoming events because there are some. So there you go. Do this, and I'll catch you right on the other side of this.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a